Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your ultimate window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Rhoda. We're here today with Todd Richards, author of Soul, A Chef's Culinary Evolution in 150 Recipes. Todd, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
It's a really beautiful book, as I was saying before we pressed record, and it also takes a really interesting approach to organizing the recipes based on main ingredient rather than the traditional kind of grouping by course or soups and salads, et cetera. Can you talk a little bit about how you chose to structure the book and how that contributes maybe to the more autobiographical nature of the cookbook?
I really wanted to talk about food in a different way than a traditional cookbook, talking about how I grew up as a kid and really saying what soul is in the modern context. So you had to start with the most iconic food in soul food, which is collard greens, and really see how those collard greens can transform into these wonderful dishes like collard green ramen, using the collard green pesto and things like that. So that kind of storytelling lended book to be less traditional and more just about a story of soul food in general.
I want to talk about the collard green ramen because it's probably one of those memorable recipes in the cookbook, and the origin story contributes to that. Can you talk about that and kind of some of the challenges of creating your own interpretation and in mixing those two cuisines?
Well, I have to give that to my parents. My mom, she loved Chinese food. And there was this place on 87th and Jeffrey on the south side of Chicago that we would go to all the time. And my dad was this really frugal person, meaning that anytime we ordered food from out, we had something in the kitchen that or the refrigerator had to be used. We had to put that on the table at the same time. So it always seemed to be collard greens and Chinese food went together. And they had this one dish called yakimi, which is noodles with a little bit of pork belly, scallions, and soft-boiled egg. And you imagine that broth. You have this one broth here. You have this collard green broth here and a little bit of vinegar in those greens and that mashed together. And people say, you know, is that soul? It's like, well, that's soul food in my house because that's how I grew up as a kid. I've been eating that dish since I was 4 or 5 years old.
I love that idea that soul food is not just something that's specific to the history of a cuisine, but also specific to you personally. And there's such an influx of international foods kind of gaining popularity in the food world, sometimes along with the culture that created them and sometimes sort of divorced from that in the narrative that gets told in the food story. Where do you think your book fits into that conversation? And what do you think some of the goals are for how your book will change the perception of what soul food means?
Well, one of the goals of the book is to really tell soul food in a modern context and not only keep it in 1960s, you know, and to say that African-American contribution to culinary in America only started in 1960 would be dismissive of our entire history here. So we can't stop in 1960. It means we have to move it forward also. So in the book, that's why each chapter has this progression of dishes that go along in that route. The story is being told is that soul food is the true American food. It has blend cultures all together. It has perseverance. It's the greatest story of perseverance that you will find. And it's not only a food. It transcends itself in different areas. New York soul food is different than Chicago soul food. West Coast soul food, with all these Asian and Latin influences coming to those places. So it's really just that blending of culture, but it's still, to me, the most American food there is.
You have this incredible story as a self-taught chef, and through the book, you're really paying homage to a lot of the people and cultures that you've encountered through these recipes. What were some of the challenges that you faced sort of through your culinary journey, and what advice do you give young people who are hoping to become a chef or hoping to open a restaurant but don't know where to start?
The biggest challenge, I would say, is being typeset to one particular part of cuisine. Even Southern food has its a regal place now in the American population. You look at a city like New York, before 9/11, there was no fried chicken in New York, and now it's fried chicken on every corner. And we've always, in this country, turned back to those things that got us there. So the biggest, you know, obstacle was that, but overcoming those obstacles is really just a magnificent way to do so. And looking at, you know, the current state of soul food or people who are contributing to soul food, that we can expand it, you know, way beyond the scope of where it is right now. My advice to anyone who wants to open a restaurant is really to find good sources of revenue. You know, first, see if you can really do it, you know, of course. Work on capital, but also look at our mentors and people who have already done it. And I look at other cultures and other cuisines that have done it very well, French cuisine, Japanese cuisine. David Chang is a great example of it. And learn from those models and how we can be successful in it as well.
The collard green ramen is such a good example of a recipe in the book that is really sort of, as you say, taking this food and bringing it to a modern conversation. Can you give some other examples of some of the recipes that you feel really do that?
I look at the broiled perch recipe, which perch is more of a Midwestern fish. You can use trout or something like even salmon for it. But understanding how my grandmother used to fry perch only, and then as her cuisine progressed, she started, you know, blackening it or just putting it in the broiler. Instead of using it as a sandwich, she would put it in lettuce wraps. Sometimes she would just chop mustard greens and put it on top of it as well. And having tomatoes, using tomato aspic in that way, that's really, really old school way. It's kind of French, but understanding that we used to watch all those cooking shows on Saturday, so she was pulling those techniques in as well, really makes it one of those dishes to me that just transforms, you know, traditional soul food in a whole different manner.
So I know that you're the owner of Richard's Southern Fried at Crog Street Market, but do you have any plans for opening more branches, or is there anything else that you're looking to do to sort of incorporate the soul food with a twist style that is found in the cookbook?
The cookbook has really opened my eyes to a lot of different possibilities. One project I'm working on right now is reopening Anderson's Barbecue in Atlanta. It operated for about 45 years. If anyone knows TLC and Chili from TLC, that was like her first job when she was 14 at this barbecue place in Southwest Atlanta. And so we're going to reopen it and keep it called Anderson's. And that's really a fun project to do. And it seems like that collard green ramen is going to be on every menu because every restaurant I have, everyone wants it. So it keeps going. And just utilizing those same kind of techniques from a kid and bringing them to the forefront will really make those restaurants sing.
Todd, thank you so much for coming to talk with us today. I really appreciate
you. You have like the best radio voice ever, though. I just want to let everybody know that. You know, I'm like, man, she's got a great radio voice.
Well, I'm sick right now, so thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. Check out the book, Soul. It's out now. And tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.